I joined the Air Force immediately after high school. And the day I left for boot camp, my best friend sat next to me sobbing because we were about to leave our small town in southwest Iowa. I could not wait to get out and to get away. My first duty station was in Rapid City, South Dakota. I made friends easily and got involved in local rodeos. I even had my own cowboy boots and hat and a pair of leather chaps. In the arena, I tie up the legs of those steers and I can hear the crowd cheer. Their praise provided all the love and approval that I needed. At the start of my military career, I worked in a parachute shop with a very religious young man. The more I talked to him and to the people that he went to church with, the more I felt to be compelled and to be pulled in that same direction. I gave my heart to God and became a born-again Christian. Not long after my conversion, I was relocated to Elmendorf Air Force Base, Anchorage, Alaska, where I found a small storefront church. It was a little bit different than what I was used to, though. They played only those old-time hymns, accompanied by a piano. None of the members were supposed to be watching any TV. If someone was considering a job outside of the ministry, they had to ask the elders and the pastors for their permission. Women wore skirts down to their ankles and couldn't cut their hair or even wear makeup. Men wore suits, and I had to throw away my cowboy hat and my leather chaps. You know, I wanted to be a good person. I wanted to make a difference in the lives of others, because after all, that's what I did the best, was make others happy. Soon I heard how the church leaders had been praying for someone young and passionate to come and help. Then I showed up. God called you to be a pastor, they would say. We always needed someone like you. Hearing them say this was like having a stadium chant my name, Brandon, Brandon. What could I say? No. After a couple weeks, they had me helping leading in church services, and I thought, maybe this is the reason why I came to Alaska. Maybe I was supposed to serve this church. Every day, as soon as I got off of work, I would spread the good news through door knocking, helping save souls. Or I would go to Bible study or a church service held almost daily. But whenever that collection plate was full, the elders were especially happy with me. I began to regard the pastors and elders as men who spoke the very words of God. I believed them. I trust them. I loved them. My dad wasn't around much when I was growing up, and now I had some fatherly figures to look up to, and they showered me with the attention. So when they urged me to become a pastor, I did. 2 years later, they shocked me with their very next command. They wanted me to get married to a person of their choosing. This church only had 8 members. And one woman, one single woman. The ministers looked around and said, yep, she's the one God picked for you. I knew that they were wrong, but no one ever went against their wishes. When I met the woman I was supposed to marry, I told her that we should just be friends. I hardly knew her. I wasn't attracted to her. We had nothing in common, and I got this bad feeling about her that I couldn't shake. And after we met, she went to the church leaders and told on me. And during the Sunday service, I was called out in the pulpit for being sinful and not following God's will. I could feel my face grow red and hot as a preacher in his suit and tie looked right at me. I was so ashamed. I had disappointed the people I loved. Being in Alaska so far away from home, the church people was all I had at the time. It's all I had. The pastor and his wife told me that they knew God's will better than I could at 23 years old and that I had better ask for this woman's forgiveness. A couple of weeks later, I made one of the biggest mistakes of my life. Surrounded by the 6 other church members, I married a stranger. The whole day I felt sick to my stomach. And I wasn't allowed to tell my family anything until 2 days before the wedding, because I'd been warned the devil might use them to break us up. That's when the verbal abuse began, just days into the marriage. Simple things like going to the grocery store to get something for her turned into a full evening of screaming. That's not the right loaf of bread. Why can't you do anything right? Everything that went wrong in this woman's life was blamed on me. If quoting the Bible, a Bible verse didn't get her way, she leaned on her other standbys, like she would cry at the drop of a hat, or she would say things like, if you'd really love God and loved me, you'd actually do things right. Divorce was a sin and instant condemnation to hell. I stayed in the marriage, but I shut off my heart. When I had the opportunity to leave the military and join the ministry full-time, I took it. I moved to the Pacific Northwest and went to Bible college. And despite my miserable home life, I kept seeking validation from the church leaders. So when they told me to become a missionary pastor in England, I went. And soon the church in England was failing. Our numbers were dwindling when many of our young military members got orders to switch duty stations. I had no money to send to the headquarters, not even to even really feed myself. I owned nothing but the clothes on my back. And most days, the woman that I married was so depressed that she couldn't even get out of bed. And so that left most of the missionary work on me. And I felt pretty alone. And late one night, I thought my failings were played before me like a movie. I snuck out of the bedroom, headed for the kitchen, and pulled out a knife. Because that was the only way out. But then, a moment of clarity washed over me, and a promise of hope whispered, get out of this cult now, before it's too late. You can turn your life around. And so I put the knife back. When my term in England ended, the church leaders asked me to stay, and I said, hell no. I got on a plane, came back to the Midwest, back home, and once I settled in, I got that divorce. I got that divorce that I wanted from my abuser and started buying whatever kind of loaf of bread I wanted to. But you know, I'm still angry and heartbroken that I let it go on for a full decade. But I see now that letting others have power over you, it starts small, with sweet little lies laced with just enough truth, until little by little, you're not on that same pathway. Today, though, the love I give out to make others happy has finally returned to me tenfold. I'm married to my first true wife, and my only true wife, the one that I chose. The one who's my soulmate, who has given me so much healing and hope. I'm a father of five now, and happier than I can ever be. I'm making my own choices and owning my own life.
Brandon Bullington shared his story at Ode's Live Storytelling event last month. The theme was Just Keep Going, and it was supported by One Book, One Siouxland. Join us on Wednesdays to hear more. Next week,
everyone else came back with Berenstain Bears, Amelia Bedelia, and Dr. Seuss. I took home the biographies of Adolf Hitler, Benito Mussolini, and Joseph Stalin.
Ode is a storytelling series where community members tell true stories on stage to promote positive impact through empathy. Our next show is Friday, June 1 at the Marquee in downtown Sioux City. The theme is belonging. Find tickets at kwit.org. You can also listen to past stories online and learn more about Ode on Facebook. The music is by Sean Blomberg, played live at Ode last year. For Siouxland Public Media, I'm Allie Carson.
When there's nothing left to lose, I can fly right if I choose. You can buy, but you can't wear my shoes. Cause I've got nothing left to lose. So I'm heading home to lick my wounds. And share with my family the news. I put some miles on these here shoes. I've got nothing left to lose. So hopped a midnight train down the coast. Well, I was still wrestling with your ghost. And I caught me a bad case of the blues. When I had nothing left to lose, spinning circles in the sand. And down came a guiding hand. To show me the way I was confused. I had nothing left to lose. When there's nothing left to lose. Well, you could fly right if you choose. Shame on me and shame on you. When there's nothing left to lose.
Thanks.